Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. A relaxed show tonight as we review the news, although it's quite interesting and important what's happening. There is an increasing popularity of Gives and Go, so much so that they are being swamped by too much requests to their servers, so it's not always working. Throughout the day, they have been disabled at times, and then they seem to have enabled a functionality in Cloudflare that reduces DDoS attack effects. And so right now, I have no problems connecting to the website, but people are being extremely pissed off about what was found yesterday. And I talked a little bit at the end of the show about what we found out is that GoFundMe has decided to follow the request of Canadian governments, including the Ottawa police and probably Trudeau in the background, to take the $9 million left to the truckers and to, well, initially wanting to seize it and to give it to their own charities, which is literally theft or fraud or whatever you want to call it. Extremely deceptive practice there. Eventually, so much pressure emerged on the internet and people started developing plans to stop this thing, and by calling their credit card company and saying I just got, like, they took my money and they didn't deliver the service. Can you do a chargeback, which would have implied a lot of cost for GoFundMe. So GoFundMe today stepped back and said, okay, we're not going to take your money and give it to someone else. We're not going to do outright fraud. We're just going to reimburse everyone automatically. So we end up with a situation where the GoFundMe truckers, the trucker convoy had gathered $10 million. They only got $1 million of it. And then GoFundMe apparently did some research. It's like there was nothing to be discovered by research that would change the fact that these truckers were headed to do whatever they were headed to do. They are a bunch of truckers who wanted to protest in Ottawa, and that's still what they do. But it's probably the police of Ottawa contacting GoFundMe that changed the game, and they realized, okay, well, and on top of this, they got threatened by multiple states, including Florida and Missouri in the U.S., who said, wait a minute, those are deceptive practices. We're going to get our attorney general on this case. And please consider that in the U.S., deceptive practices by a company is subject to triple damages. So that means if you defraud someone for $30, you are eligible to damages of $90 just from the deceptive practice count. And you can even have other counts that could be added and that can add to the bill eventually. So I think that they saw the risk coming. They saw the legislators and governors of various states potentially going after them, and they said, all right, too dangerous, we won't keep the money, we will be reimbursing everyone automatically. Because yesterday what they had announced is that if you want your money back, you have to fill a form, and they made it complicated, and there would be no doubt that some people wouldn't have the time or wouldn't even know about it and wouldn't fill that form. So as a result, the convoy of truckers has started a campaign on Give, Send, Go, and it is already at $1.4 million right here, $1.4 million on a goal of $16 million. Now, even if they were not to reach that goal, that new goal, $1.4 million is plenty, I think, to support their current operation. So it's good, and I have no doubt that more will come, because throughout the day, the website was disabled at many points. We saw a Cloudflare screen, which Cloudflare, I use it for arguably.io. It's supposed to protect you against DDoS, but it's not perfect either. So you can still suffer from too much spam to your server, even with Cloudflare. Although now they have enabled a functionality where Cloudflare filters who comes in and checks for humanness. And so at this point, it seems that they have fixed the problem. Give, Send, Go is a Christian community for fundraising. Their official statement has been published on Gab. Our official statement, Give, Send, Go stands for hope and freedom. We recognize the freedoms we have are God-given, not authorized by governments, but rather ought to be protected by our governments. We do not condone violence of any form. We have been in contact with the campaign organizers and have received full assurance that any funds raised will not be used to fund any violent actions. As in any polarized situation, we recognize there will be a few individuals and groups that might intentionally try to incite violence. We realize this will be used to stain this movement by opposing groups. We will not broad-stroke those individual situations as a depiction of what this movement represents as if they were affiliated. Mama JF is coming in. What's up?
Hey, that's what you should have done when they when YouTube stole your money.
What should I have done?
You should call the police and call Florida.
It's possible, but movements don't tend to revolve around me. See, I have my little show. Our fans are very great with us, but we are not so heavy on the internet that we can create an internet-wide movement.
They do the same thing. They stole you, and not only you, everybody.
Yeah.
Imagine if everybody called the police on YouTube.
Yeah, but the problem is they attack individual creator after individual creator, so there's never quite a mass of people pissed at them. It's always just one person isolated, and then one other, and then one other. Whereas with GoFundMe, they attacked hundreds of thousands of people all at the same time.
But we should call the police just for fun.
Just for fun. That makes sense. I mean, it was truly. I mean, when YouTube demonetized my main channel back in the day, they owed me $4,000 or $5,000. And it was absolutely dirty how they did it. And it's like, oh, well, you are out of the cycle. Our cycle ends on the 15th, and we've demonetized you on the 14th. And so the cycle will not be... They made up some technical terms, and it's like, no, you're just stealing my money. Dark Urza says, JF, did you see Rekietala mentioned that GoFundMe put themselves into the same position as Patreon versus Owen Benjamin? Yes, that was another possibility being discussed yesterday. People were like, what do we do? Well, we could do the same thing that Owen Benjamin did to Patreon, which is invite all of your users who are dissatisfied to start a case in California and have arbitration. And then as Patreon was forced to do, you know, they're forced to pay $200-something per individual who does this. So if tens of thousands of people would have done this, that would have been an enormous cost to GoFundMe. So they were in too much trouble. Give, Send, Go will always stand for freedom for those on either side of our current ideological divide. Our hope is first in God, and also in the notion that we can be united as free people across the globe, standing in the freedom that was bought for us first at the cross, but also maintained by the blood men and women who have given their lives to see us live freedom. All right. It's great that the Christians are there to save us. It's amazing how... the Christian internet is rising. I find it absolutely great, because in the mainstream media and in Hollywood, the Christian is demeaned as, oh, you know, backwards, not interested in science, Republican bigot. But when you look at what's really happening right now on the internet, is that Christians are the last stand of internet liberty. Gab is run by Christian, Give, Send, Go is run by Christian, and these things will keep rising, and it's heartwarming and reassuring, and this is where you realize how important it is to have a Christian society, and why ultimately everyone wants to move in Christian societies. No one wants to move elsewhere. They create societies that are desirable precisely through this openness, which you have to give it to the Christians, you know, is kind of directly inspired by Jesus. Tillman says, Cloudflare was the first to take down a website. I think it was called Daily Stormer or something. I don't think they can be trusted either. Well, yeah, I mean, Cloudflare has a kind of weird position on free speech where they are actually offering service even to piracy websites and they don't care. But on this particular case of the Daily Stormer, they made an exception to their rule where but they explained, and you know, partly it's a bullshit explanation, but here's how they explained it. It's that when they started being pressured to cut out the Daily Stormer from the internet, or from their service at least, the Daily Stormer started publishing blog posts claiming, hey, you see, Cloudflare loves us. Cloudflare is filled with Nazis like us. And of course, it was done probably in the general humoristic stance of this website and how it exaggerates all the time. But in the end, Cloudflare said, all right, we are very annoyed that this website is not representing properly our view, which is our view is that the internet should be opened. Our view is not that we are Nazis. So you have to give it to them here. Like, if I was, let's say I have a Discord server in my name. So if someone was to come on my Discord server and say, JF advocates for this, this, and this, and it would all be false, perhaps there would be a basis for me to say, well, okay, this guy is creating risk, he's deceiving people about me, so I'm going to ban him. In any case, Cloudflare has said that otherwise they are extremely for free speech, and they don't believe that any website should be censored for speech. And so I personally feel sicker there with arguably.io. I don't think they will ever come for an intellectual level encyclopedia of that kind. Justed says, Christianity didn't last beyond 20 centuries for no reason, JF. When crises rise, Christians band together to help one another through difficult time. Okay, that is... yes, I guess that is what makes the strength of Christianity. Look, there was a terrorist event, a leftist attack on trucker protesters. They were not in Ottawa. It was this one is in Winnipeg. A leftist, a masked Antifa type leftist, who perhaps was pissed at the trucker convoy blocking traffic, has been just running over three people. Fortunately, no one died. There are three people injured. We have the video of the events here. Let me try to play it. Let's see. You will see that this is the truck that comes from here and goes here that way. And there will be three people on his way who get hurt. So you see there was one guy that literally got run over, and some two other people were injured. And people were pointing out, look, this is much more violence than the entire protest themselves have generated. I mean, there is not a single one of these truckers or even the people who claim to be proponents of the trucker convoy. You take all of these people, and even the individuals, even those who are not approved by the leadership, didn't create as much violence as this, which is a car literally running over three people. So the left here has to reflect a little bit on their dehumanization of the anti-vax protester or the anti-mandate protesters. This is a result of the dehumanization that we've seen in media, in Canadian media, in saying, you know, all these people are Nazis or they're all violent. And you end up having individuals who take it upon themselves to commit those acts of violence. It is absolutely scandalous, and the left must calm down. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and support the show tonight. The link is right below the video. Is 2022 the year of the great shift to our non-mainstream platforms such as GiveSendGo? I would love it if we could look back at 2022 and think of it as the day the big platforms show their weakness. I would like it if in 3-4 years from now, no one wants to be on YouTube, no one wants to engage with Twitter, no one wants to go on Facebook. It's already how a lot of people have been living their lives, including me, up to recently. I've recently begun basically forgetting about the mainstream platforms, and I feel much better for it. I hope that a lot of other people join us and that eventually no one even thinks about starting a GoFundMe. They just go straight to GiveSendGo if they have something important to do. So today, protests have spread across Canada. It is no more just a question of Ottawa. Here we see scenes from Toronto. Toronto was pretty active with lots of protesters. So the streets were blocked, there were tractors, there were protesters by foot. We've also seen Quebec, there has been a similar protest in Quebec, very successful. there are also other border points, Milk River here, where the truckers are still successful at barring passage, although the news from this passage between the US and Canada is that the truckers have agreed to leave one lane open. This has left the opportunity for a couple of people who really had to move from one country to the other, or emergency vehicles like an ambulance passed. So the truckers have agreed to leave a little bit of circulation going, but it's definitely going at a slow rate. And we have the story here of this trucker who's explaining that he lost his job. He's one of those who had a job in the government and who gave it up for because he didn't want to get vaccinated.
I was actually a government of Alberta employee, and I wrote them a letter saying, no, this is tyranny, and stated my case. I have religious beliefs against it as well, and they basically said, you are held to a higher calling, and I was trying to hold them to the higher calling.
How long are you planning on staying out here?
As long as it takes. You know, I...
So they are still resolved and decided to stay in place and continue the protest. Hopefully this will work, and hopefully the governments eventually go back on their decision. Some people are experiencing buffering. I'm sorry about this. Look, we are, I believe we are at relatively low quality in terms of bit rate. It's as low as we can do. So if you've already shut down your VPN and it's still buffering, perhaps attempt to just come back later and watch the show offline. It's too bad, because it's a show that I like people to watch live. But unfortunately for some people, Odyssey is at the limit of what their computer can handle. It seems to be less than 5% of our audience, to be honest, though. So perhaps you can check if it's a matter of your internet connection. A lot of people are experiencing the stream as fine. All right, so here we saw the flip-flop yesterday. GoFundMe switching from, oh, well, you're going to have to fill some form, to eventually proactively refunding all donations to the Freedom Convoy. Thankfully, GiveSendGo seemed determined in their message, because yesterday the hate was being expressed against GoFundMe Trakistan Jack Posobiec says, send it all back immediately, you thieving scum. I keep it lighthearted on this platform, try not to doom scroll or rage tweet. Happy warrior, right? But GoFundMe story was my breaking point. Blood boiling. Fuck GoFundMe. Put them in prison. Authoritarian boot-licking thieving scum. Not another dollar to them ever. A lot of people were extremely pissed. And long-term, I think that GoFundMe may have signed its death note. I think it may be over. A lot of people are not only pissed at what happened in this particular case, but they are determined to crash GoFundMe in some way, to find a way to cut their market share. And I think there will be, going forward for years, there will be people rooting for the alternative Give, Send, Go. Meanwhile, MSNBC is publishing misinformation about COVID, fear porn. Zeke Emmanuel peddles fears. He says unvaxxed children are likely to get a serious case of COVID if they don't get vaxxed. The thing is with Omicron, the data is so minuscule that we don't even have an evaluation of your risk of death from Omicron if you're less than 5 years old. He was on MSNBC saying, with the Omicron variant, kids are either going to get the vaccine or they're likely to get a serious condition of Omicron. Likely, what is it? 0.0001%? What is the chance of getting a serious condition from Omicron? I've read some articles about it. I find no answer. The only article that could have reached such a conclusion was stating the rate of hospitalization is so low in children that we can't give you a confident number. We would need to have tens of millions of children with Omicron before we can even come to a precise number. But that's another way in which science, you know, give us an approximation. It's probably the reason they don't give the approximation is the number looks ridiculous. It's like 0.000. The number would definitely launch the message in the population that, okay, it's about time we stop caring. So, of course, in this case, it's one of these very rare cases where he had to apologize. People were starting to call him out on Twitter. And he said, I misspoke on live TV. Unvaxxed kids aren't likely to get a serious condition of Omicron. But they're more likely to contract a case of Omicron. It's like, okay, you're hanging to your last thread here. They're more likely to contract it. Well, if they're more likely to contract it and the chances that it becomes a grave thing are so small that they don't matter, then stop your fear porn. We know why this kind of statement ends up on MSNBC. It's because there is such a mediatic pressure to be afraid of COVID, to seed fear against COVID, that they end up misspeaking. I don't think you misspoke. I think you said exactly what you wanted to say, but you got caught because it turned out in a way that happened to be conflicting with the truth. GoFundMe just proved Bitcoin's use case. In case you were wondering what life under a central bank digital currency will look like, by now everybody is probably aware of the Canadian Freedom Convoy and how GoFundMe, at the behest of the mayor of Ottawa and Justin Trudeau, summarily closed their fundraiser, which had exceeded $10 million. They also announced that they would literally redistribute funds to other approved charities. Those approved charities would presumably be those mentioned by the name by the likes of Trudeau, like the avowedly Marxist BLM, who have fundraising issues of their own owing to lack of financial transparency. Yeah, it's like the amount of money that was directed to the leftist protests that ended up burning parts of America. this never caused any issue. GoFundMe never had any issue. There never was someone to say, oh, well, isn't part of this money going to the far left, to the revolutionary far left? Yes, it is. The right authoritarian says, Jeff, would you speak on the social cancellation of Joe Rogan? Yes, I'm about to speak about it. I mean, I don't know if the social cancellation of Joe Rogan is the proper term here. Let's hear what he has to say. So Joe Rogan has been, so there has been 70 or 71 episodes deleted yesterday night without explanation by, and we it's still not clear if it's Joe Rogan who has deleted those or if it's Spotify. However, this all happened, and the next day, today, we have Joe Rogan apologizing. This is all bizarre because the whole anti-Joe Rogan crusade was relating to misinformation around COVID or purported misinformation. And now he's apologizing for use of the N-word across the years. He looks terrible in this apology. It's like, bro, you're a comedian. You know what it was in the 90s and how there was a desire to free speech. There was a desire to make sure that the least taboos can survive, and comedians were important in this. And you were using the N-word all in context where you wanted to undermine this taboo. But now today he's abandoning his own work, and so it could very well be himself, based on this apology, it could very well be himself who decided to delete the 70 episodes.
Hello, friends. I'm making this video to talk about the most regretful and shameful thing that I've ever had to talk about publicly. There's a video that's out that's a compilation of me saying the N-word. It's a video that's made of clips taken out of context of me of 12 years of conversations on my podcast, and it's all smushed together, and it looks fucking horrible, even to me.
So because someone made a clip summarizing all uses of the N-word by Joe Rogan, Joe Rogan felt compelled at making this apology.
Now, I know that to most people, there's no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly on a podcast. And I agree with that now. I haven't said it.
He agrees with this now. So Joe Rogan takes the side of his abusers, takes the side of the censors.
In years, but for a long time, when I would bring that word up, like if it would come up in conversation, instead of saying the N-word, I would just say the word. I thought as long as it was in context, people would understand what I was doing. Like that context was part of the clip we were talking about, Red Fox, how Red Fox said that word on television in the 1970s, and how times have changed so much since then. Or about how Richard Pryor used it as one of the titles of one of his albums. Or I was quoting a Lenny Bruce bit, or I was quoting a Paul Mooney bit, or I was talking about how Quentin Tarantino used it repeatedly in Pulp Fiction, or I was talking about...
This guy was using the word every week, basically. It's like if I had an equivalent apology, I wouldn't even have a single example in my life. And Joe Rogan is like, I would like to apologize for this time, oh, and this time, and oh yeah, there was also that time, oh, and that time I was talking about rock and roll music, and yeah, I let it go, oh yeah, and there was also this. Bro, you're making a grocery list here.
About how a Netflix executive ironically used it because he was trying to compare it to another offensive word, and he said it out loud, and they fired him. Not calling anybody, we're just saying the word out loud. I was also talking about how there's not another word like it in the entire English language, because it's a word where only one group of people is allowed to use it, and they can use it in so many different ways. Like if a white person says,
aha, there is some black envy here in Joe Rogan, but he sides with it. See, he says, essentially, he was trying to do like his black friends, and he was jealous that there is this word that a certain race can use and some other race can't use it. So he's siding with racism here, the racism of the selective fight against free language that the left has been leading.
Says that word, it's racist and toxic, but a black person can use it, and it could be a punchline, it could be a term of endearment, it could be lyrics to a rap song, it could be a pop.
See all those possibilities, Joe, all denied to the young white kid who's just growing into the world, who would like to have this punctuation mark, but his punctuation mark has been denied from him.
Positive affirmation. It's a very unusual word, but it's not my word to use. I'm well...
There you go. Joe Rogan accepting the racial claim onto a word. If I ever speak to Joe, I guess my question to him would be, how does it feel? How does it feel to give up? Because you're giving up on your stated principles here. What you do here is a racist double standard applied to your own race.
I'm well aware of that now, but for years I used it in that manner. I never used it to be racist because I'm not racist. But whenever you're in a situation where you have to say, I'm not racist, you fucked up. And I clearly have fucked up. And that's my intention to express myself in this video, to say, there's nothing I can do to take that back. I wish I could. Obviously, that's not possible. I do hope that, if anything, that this can be a teachable moment. Because I never thought it would ever be taken out of context and put in a video like that. And now that it is, holy shit, it looks bad. And it's part of also me doing this podcast for thousands of hours, thousands of episodes.
Now, so that's the apology for the first part. There is a second part where Joe Rogan apologizes for another thing. Just a statement that he has done, which I couldn't even show you here. Okay, and it has to do with a movie. It has to do with a movie about a planet. You know, planet of. And Joe Rogan attempts to make his comment not seem racist, and it's a failure. He's trying to explain that he didn't mean it as a racist statement. It's hard to understand what he would mean. Other than interpreting it in that way. So I find the apology missing some kind of honesty to it, which is, there is no interpretation of your words, Joe, that is not racist in some way. But he's trying to pass it on. I was just trying to have people laugh. Okay. Tillman says, Jeff, is it funny though? No, it was not even particularly funny. It was just a misplaced comment. And he apologizes for it, but you know, you should, when you do an apology, you have to kind of encompass the entire wrong that you've made. You have to recognize the tort. You cannot say, oh, I apologize for killing you, but also I didn't kill you. It's like, no, no. Or I apologize for saying that comment, but I also didn't say that comment, or this comment is not what you think it is. There is no way in which the explanation of Joe Rogan makes sense. And I think he should have just stood by his intent at the moment. Now, you can regret your intent. You can say I'm different now. But there is something fundamentally in his comment that doesn't fit the explanation that he gives. So those are images from a trucker convoy protest in Quebec. Also, lots of activity there
Please
today.
Convoy current language.
But it was, you know, as someone was pointing out on the regular chat earlier, it's Boomer Saturday celebrations, but it is not as important as the blockades of Ottawa that are happening and the blockade of between the US and Canada, because they have no leverage. We still got very good coverage today of Ottawa by Ottawalks, a very good YouTuber who's been walking through the city of Ottawa for years, having 10 to 50 views to his videos, and eventually just him walking in the city of Ottawa became important to the internet, and he's now having tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of views on his video. It's amazing to see this guy, and he's filming extremely well. He has good quality. So we can see that the trucker convoy is still very well placed in Ottawa and successfully blocking circulation. There was also activity in Calgary, Alberta, but again, Boomer Saturday with music, nothing that would make the powers that be change. But still, a good mass of people was attracted to this protest. This is some of the... I was talking earlier about the governors who were threatening GoFundMe. Florida Governor DeSantis to launch investigations into GoFundMe over fraudulent fundraising practices. Update Georgia too. It's interesting to see the governors going at this. It's very important that they follow up on this and do it for real. Because you have these leftist platforms are specializing at pulling the rug under the feet. Pulling the rug under the feet of the right wing or of any movements of resistance. And they absolutely show double standard in the way they address leftist cases of riots and violence versus not even riot and violence on the side of the right wing. So I'm happy it's happening. Misery also joined in. Misery Attorney General Eric Schmidt says he will be investigating GoFundMe deceptive practices. But, you know, as people are pointing out on Gab, it would be great to have more than investigations. When do we get these people in court and make them really pay? Rodi Lucid says, JF Viva Frey, a Montreal YouTuber, was in Ottawa and he talked with some of the anti-protesters and they were all white Karens. It's funny that Trudeau calls the fringe minority racist when they have more diversity than the ones who oppose it. Yeah, I've seen Viva Frey coverage. You know, the anti-protesters, it's like, I've seen some of them. They're like two or three. And they're like, we are against, we are for the mandate. But yeah, it was, the one I saw was actually just three women of a certain age. But I don't like this kind of argument you just did. I mean, it's okay that you do it, but I never do that kind of argument. I will never be... I find this a terrible argument, and it's a very common one. It goes from... This is a category of argument. It goes from, I have a black friend, therefore I'm not racist, to... Our movement has more diversity than yours, so how can you call us racist? the thing is, please understand, when you do that kind of argument, you give up a little piece of yourself. The same way Joe Rogan just gave up a little piece of himself. Joe Rogan, by adhering to a double standard of the left in allowing certain people of a race to use a word and other people of another race not to use that word, he's standing against his own principle of equality and equality of treatment and kind of togetherness. When you start making arguments that, oh, I have friends that are black, think about it. Think about, what if you didn't have friends that are black? Would that make you a racist? What if your movement attracted only white people? Would that movement be a racist movement? No, it wouldn't be. The fact is, things like libertarianism, for example, tend to attract extremely white crowds. And it's not because libertarianism is racist. And on top of it, you give up the idea that non-diversity is not a sign of a problem. Like, if you make a birthday party with the people you love and it just so happens that everyone at this party is white, it's not because you're racist. It's just so. Just like libertarianism attracts white people, and it is just so. It may have to do with their genes. Perhaps there are in the European population genes for preferring liberty. But we should not judge a movement by the diversity of the kind of people it attracts. It has nothing to do. So that's why I never make that kind of argument. Rodilacid says, well, I just use Saul Alinsky's rule and make them live by their own rules. Yes, and it's okay, but I like to just put this aside and not engage on the question of diversity at all. Italy against medical tyranny today, a protest in Italy. So protests are growing. Let's see. Libertas, libertas, I guess that's what they're saying. Italian words for liberty, I'm pretty sure. Column, is this the beginning of Facebook's downfall? I like that on a mainstream platform like Yahoo Finance, people are starting to see the fall of the mainstream platforms. Oh, and by the way, one thing I didn't mention today, Bitcoin seems to be doing good. I mean, we'll see if that can get higher, but it's a very encouraging bounce back that we've seen. Bitcoin hovering at 41,500 and it's been going like this for all day, so I was very encouraged to see this. Facebook, however, is being talked about as potentially the next dinosaur. If there's a single immutable law of human biology, it's that no one lives forever. The same goes for corporations. They go across, well, first the drop in value of Facebook, which was one of the biggest drops in terms of market cap. It was one of the biggest drop in history in terms of the total value lost. About 200 something billion dollars just disappeared in its value. I think this article fails at saying, look, one of the big problems of Facebook is to have abandoned openness and to have chosen censorship. Facebook has made it impossible for hundreds of thousands of people to express their views. So if you happen to be a right-winger on questions of identity, you'll get caught by the Facebook algorithm at some point. If you happen to believe in freedom for vaccines and you have some unorthodox beliefs around COVID, you're going to be cut for misinformation. And a lot of people like me who operate on the internet, it's become impossible across the years to work with Facebook. It's become impossible for me to post my shows because I would be like, do I have the intention to talk about this tonight? And the answer would always be yes. There would always be a subject that I talk about that Facebook didn't like. So that's how you destroy your company. It's when you don't realize that your current success is built on past versions of yourself. Your current success is not due to your lady in the trust and safety department that's drinking coffee every day thinking about what's her next ban spree. This is not what built the success of Facebook. You are surfing on a past success in which your platform was more open, more interesting, lighter, and was able to respond to human needs easier. Now, they do the typical thing here, which is instead of talking about this and how censorship eventually destroyed Facebook, they talk about how there's not enough censorship and this will cause the fall of Facebook. They're like, oh yeah, what about young girls and how Facebook motivates them toward bad perceptions of their self-image? It's not. The fall of Facebook is not due to inducement of anorexia nervosa in 11-year-old daughters, okay? It's not what's happening. If you don't understand that closing your platform to freedom of speech is the equivalent of cognitively oppressing your customer base, it's the equivalent of if you were to go to Walmart and whenever you enter Walmart, they put a headphone on your ears and the headphones while you are shopping through the Walmart are reminding you how you should hate yourself and how you're bad and what you think is bad and you... This would be unendurable, but this is what Facebook is today. It's a platform that is reminding people you're wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. You should correct them. You should believe this trusted narrative. No one wants to experience this. That's why people are leaving Facebook. And apparently the drop in the stock market, they explain, was due to there is a massive drop in the use of Facebook. People are leaving the platform. They don't succeed at growing as much as they used to. Justed says, ahead of the curvers are off of Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for good. We gravitate to alt-tech censorship platform, like censorship-free platforms like Telegram and Gab. Yes, and I made the decision in line with this yesterday. So arguably.io, I've been installing an extension that allows you to share any article we write. They will be shareable on Gab, Parler, Getter, Telegram, and Minds. And it was a very satisfying experience for me to say, you know what? I'm not going to add a Facebook or Twitter button. At some point, we have to just move on. And anyways, like if you were to share our articles on these platforms, eventually these platforms would come to ban our URL. So why would I put a button for these platforms that have banned me or that have censored me in some way? I'm just going to start living while ignoring platforms that go after free speech. And yes, you know, people are saying Getter, lol. Yeah, I mean, Getter may be removed at some point. I don't know how they will approach free speech. But in the end, we're fine among ourselves. Like, there's now plenty of people on Gab, on Telegram, on Minds. We don't need the normies that are living on these platforms that are making life painful for everyone. So I decided I would not support these platforms in any way going forward. I'm using more and more Gab posts to illustrate the news whenever it's possible. Sometimes there are things that are exclusively on Twitter, so I will use them. But I'll try to use them the least possible. By the way, yesterday, once the show was over, I went to arguably.io to see that Naberius had written this amazing article. It's exactly what I want us to do. I want us to stay up to date in terms of following the fake news and the fake fact checks. And here, this is the story of a fact check done by the CBC. This was the fact check. Why experts say Premier Mo's claim vaccines no longer protect against COVID-19 is based on misunderstanding. This is supposed to be a fact check of this guy, who's the premier of Saskatchewan, and who explained, look, the vaccine does not sufficiently block this pandemic in terms of its response to Omicron, such that it's not worth for us to pursue mandates, or so we're abolishing these mandates and all these rules. So that was Saskatchewan in Canada. Now, this is a case where a mainstream media outlet tries to make it look like this guy said something false when he didn't. And if you want the full debunk, go read it at arguably.io. It's in the article section. By the way, on the main page, of course, it's all looking basic for now, but just so you know, on the main page, you have all of the articles that we're writing. For example, I wrote an article, Are People Born Gay? A lot of leftists claim that people are born gay. So I debunked this belief. And here, the section in journalistic articles, you can go and find the most recent writings. It's all looking very rough for now, but don't worry about how it's looking. What I'm worried about right now is fitting this encyclopedia with content and see, when we face a fact check that's ridiculous from the mainstream media, how do we debunk it step by step? And in this case, the problem of the fact check is they say, well, vaccines work. But the data they bring is always in restricted time windows. It's like, it's very, they say vaccines work, but you do have to have the booster. And then you realize, okay, well, you just trust studies in which people have gotten boosted, and you just trust in a small time window after the study. So, of course, you just got boosted. Maybe you get a protection. But the fact is, there's data emerging indicating that as soon as 90 days after your booster shot, you're back into non-effectiveness and, in fact, perhaps negative effectiveness territory. Another way to look at this is, if you really wanted to protect the population year-long, you would have to reboost them 4 times a year. And that's not even taking into account potential new variants, like post-Omicron, how it will look. Perhaps these post-Omicron variants might very well be completely indifferent to whether you've been boosted or not. But as far as the claim, the Omicron protection goes, at best it lasts 90 days. So we're not in a country where we think that we're going to give boosters 4 times a year to people. So when you say vaccines work against Omicron, you're saying a little lie hidden under an apparent truth. It's kind of true that vaccines can have some effect on Omicron, but in a real-world situation, you're going to be faced with a whole year ahead of you. And even if you are protected for the 3 first months, eventually you're going to be exposed to a risk, and that risk may even be bigger once you're vaccinated. So that's the kind of message I'd like to send with this encyclopedia, is if you do these crappy fact checks that are hiding things around unclear turns of phrases, we're going to catch you. We're going to catch you, and we're going to be able to say, here's where he's wrong, here's where he lies, here's where he doesn't reveal the proper information. And one of the big missing information piece of this fact check is they don't even mention the Danish data and a lot of other European countries now, who are indicating that there is negative vaccine effectiveness after 90 days. So it's very easy when you set the standard for the effectiveness of the vaccine so low that all you care about is the little time window of the 2 weeks after you got the vaccine and then 2 to 4 weeks after or 2 to 10 weeks after, and you completely forget the reality. The reality is that a politician should make decisions based on the overall outcomes over the year, over the next 5 years. There is, and from that point of view, from that point of view, going crazy with vaccine passports and vax mandates will have zero return. If anything, it will cause more harm. So beautiful work by Naberius. It's so great when I look at arguably.io. You know, sometimes I wake up and someone wrote something and it's genius, and we get to discover the people of this community. Naberius is often in the regular chat. I think he's also a mod on the Discord. But there he shows up and writes a superb article, and I'm like, I'm reading through and I'm like, oh yeah, quality stuff. Check, check, check. And I check over him because I wouldn't want this encyclopedia to mislead people or to claim that something is false when it's not false. So it's wonderful to discover that there are people in this community with high quality capacities. Razor Fist has been stricken on YouTube. He is now on Gab. He is also going back to YouTube, but he is currently suspended, I guess, on YouTube. Apparently for very old videos in which he was stating, I don't even remember, but in any case, it's like they're eating their own at this point. I mean, this guy is not a right-winger. He's some kind of leftist, boomer, anarchist, motorcycle, leather-wearing type of guy, and they're going after him. So it's never they're going to keep going until there's nothing left interesting on this platform. Stray gives us an update of the Tracker Convoy give send go campaign. They are now at $1.5 million. Wonderful. $1.5 million. That's plenty to keep them up for now, and I'm sure it's going to reach heights. They don't need $8 million to do what they have to do. I think at 1.5 they're plenty in the they're very well placed, and perhaps they would have the luxury of 4 or 5 million, and that would be plenty to cover all their expenses. Ex-clerk for Biden's SCOTUS hopeful edited Wikipedia pages to make her look better and rivals worse. 2 days after the retirement of Associate Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer was announced, a former law clerk for a judge believed to be on President Biden's shortlist of nominees began stealth editing her Wikipedia page in an effort to make her look like a more attractive candidate. This just gives you an idea of just how much Wikipedia, people have lost their mind with it. And I've personally had fun building, we could call it internet real estate on my Wikipedia, you know. I've had fun making this, making sure that all my actions were resulting in a worse Wikipedia page. I find this funny, among other things. And I think also it allows testing people. It's like, if someone was to come here and say, JF, I read this about you, you're this, you're that, and I'd be like, okay, give me your support for this. But Wikipedia is just too trusted. And in terms of evaluating current life even, they're terrible. And in terms of describing current existing personalities and biographies, they're horrible. And people are now using it as a fighting ground to get better political positioning. She probably wanted to be Supreme Court Justice, and so she told her little law clerk, go improve my image, little law clerk. Rodilla says, JF, if the Convoy 2022 have several millions of dollars, Can they hire some lawyers and sue Justin Trudeau in civil court for slander? It's almost impossible for any sort of public personality to win a civil court case of slander. Although Canadian law is a little more relaxed than American law on this. There is, for example... here's the thing. It was not a... now I remember. It was not a defamation case. But there used to be Jeff Fillion, who was a right-wing host of a radio show. He has disappointed me at times, but that's... He was kind of a early libertarian voice. However, eventually he... let's not get into the disappointments, but that's what he was. And eventually he got sued for talking about the boobs of a woman. I don't remember exactly who this was, but it was a celebrity woman. But I think that what led him to be judged guilty in this is that he had a kind of rape fantasy, and he openly talked on his radio show about the potentiality of having sex, but I believe he has implied that the sex would be rape, and this is where he got caught. All this to say, in Canada, I guess that in America, you wouldn't have had the possibility of a civil lawsuit of that kind, but in Canada, people are sensitive, so it's easier to get that kind of stuff, but I don't think you would get it in the political arena. I don't think you'd get a judge to say, okay, Justin Trudeau has lied over a group, because the accusations are so loose. It's like, you know, when you listen to Justin Trudeau's message, it's like, oh, we were very offended by what we saw. There's no ground for defamation here. What we saw. Okay. These people have unacceptable beliefs. Okay, well, he can argue that the unacceptable belief is this or that, or it's like the statements are so loose. They are not subject to demonstrations of falsehood and therefore not subject to defamation lawsuits. Stephen Robinson says, hey, Jeff, the Western world is protesting. What about America? Do you think there will be a massive trucker convoy soon? There is definitely an organization of a trucker convoy happening in the US right now. I don't know. It's hard to predict how good it will be. And because, you know, the US movement toward Washington, D.C. has been happening already. The great moment was supposed to be the day where they did a protest, the March for Freedom, they called it. But it was so tame, and they wanted it to be tame, that it just attracted a couple of tens of thousands, and they just stood there and listened to speech, and then they all went home. That is not something that has any leverage, especially in a mediatic environment where the media doesn't care. You're not going to create a political effect by just gathering crowds like this in a way that has no potential to disrupt the everyday lives of everyone. That's why the leverage of the Ottawa and the leverage of the border between the US and Canada is much more interesting. But they will try to do their own convoy. I suspect it will not be as successful in the US. Dead Star says, the People Are Born Gay article is yours, JF, extremely weak. JF, you have solid, non-biased foundations in all other aspects of your scientific thought, yet some personal bias you have against some broad category seems to cloud your judgment, which you realize but continue in furtherance of the culture war. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Are you telling me that there is solid evidence that homosexuality is immutable? If you have solid evidence that homosexuality is immutable, give it to me. But I don't know what you're talking about here. It's not even my bias of speaking. Yes, I may have some bias because I think reproduction very much, but I'm quite unemotional about all this. the intellectual question of whether homosexuality is unchangeable or changeable has not been supported for the unchangeable theory in any way that I know. And just think about it. I'm a guy who tells you that eventually your genes are going to be changeable. I'm a guy who tells you that your RNA segments have been changeable. They have become changeable through the invention of RNA technology. Your thoughts are changeable. They are changeable through pills that will change the equilibriums of neurotransmitters in your brain, psychiatric medications of all kind, physical surgery onto the brain. All of this will change your thoughts. And you're going to tell me that there's this one thing in life, homosexuality, and that homosexuality can't change. Fuck your bullshit. This is leftist bullshit. You've bought into a leftist meme. And it's a leftist meme that they've made because they wanted it to be unquestionable that when someone says they're gay, there can be no attempt at presenting an alternative way of life to them. So you go ahead and go out there, and you can go on arguably.io, go on the talk page if you want, or go straight on the page and tell me where I'm wrong. But isn't it bizarre? Wouldn't it be bizarre if I was to come and say, yeah, you know, everything in your life is changeable down to your sex. And you can change your sexual organ, you can change your whether you're male or female, you can change what you identify as, but somehow there's this thing, this attraction to dicks, and that is unchangeable. You're going to tell me that there's not a neurotransmitter in the brain that I could switch and that would make this behavior change? Absolutely unrealistic. Absolutely ridiculous. You are the biased one, my friend. Who was it? It was Dead Star. You are the biased one, Dead Star. I stand by my article, but if you have data that's interesting, you go ahead. Let me know about it. Statement by Donald J. Trump. If the vice president had absolutely no right to change the presidential election results in the Senate, despite fraud and many other irregularities, how come the Democrats and Rhino Republicans like Wacky Susan Collins are desperately trying to pass legislation that will not allow the vice president to change the results of the election? That's a good argument I've seen recently. You know, people are saying, If Vice President Mike Pence didn't have the power to have some kind of discretion on whether he was reading the envelopes or not, why are they trying to change the law right now to precisely deny that power? It's very interesting. Playrealm says the aridity of homosexuality is like 0.2 to 0.3. Yes. That being said, as I explained in that article, Even discovering that genes influence homosexuality, which they certainly do, and I acknowledge it in the article, that still doesn't tell you whether the genes are immutable or whether the genes are making you respond to an element of the environment that is changeable. Imagine you have a gene that makes you become gay, but only if you're exposed to MTV more than 1 hour a day, every week. Is that immutable or it's mutable? Well, it's mutable because even with that gene, if you hadn't watched MTV 1 hour a week, you wouldn't have become gay. So people often make the mistake of thinking that because it's a gene, it's unchangeable. It's wrong. A gene whether a gene is involved in an effect on your phenotype doesn't tell you whether that gene does it in an immutable way or a mutable way. And that's what's important to explain to people like Dead Star. I saw someone was saying set in stone. Who was saying this? That homosexual... Lendalt was saying, but homosexuality is set in stone. But even a stone is changeable. Eat that, lefties. Well, yeah, I mean, it's exactly the kind of misunderstanding I'd like to correct using this encyclopedia. Go away, says Jeff. Were you born straight? Asking for a friend. Well, as I've explained, the question of whether you're born mostly has to do with whether it's immutable. And I cannot know if my preference for heterosexuality would have been immutable. Would there be an amount of time spent, you know, let's say you force open my eye and you display LGBT propaganda. Maybe I would have become gay after a certain amount of propaganda. But it didn't happen. And given the rules of evolution, it's always going to be unlikely to happen. We're always going to be more tendentious toward heterosexuality because that's just how evolution works. Just Etner says, I always stood in the corner of the winner of schoolyard fights. I would stand in JF's corner for any and all verbal debates on any topic, any challenger. Okay. You are getting excited. And that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for joining me for this show tonight. There was this... a gold cube. An artist dropped an $11.7 million, 410-pound gold cube in Central Park for a day this week. Okay. So... Castello told Arnett it was a conceptual work of art in all its facets. You know, facets. Yeah, I don't know why bring out this cube. What is the idea? He was promoting some kind of cryptocurrency, I understand. All right, but this is a very costly way of promoting. Is 2022 the year of the great shift toward non-mainstream platforms such as GiveSendGo? Three people have answered yes. One person has answered not yet. Not yet, but eventually it will happen. Rodilesid says, is that one Bitcoin? I guess the goal is to illustrate a physical interpretation of what cryptocurrencies would look like in the real world. It's the blockchain, you know. Real world is cringe. Bye-bye, everyone. I'll see you all tomorrow. By the way, there will be an important change to the show. Starting very soon, perhaps on Wednesday, I will be moving the show time in a permanent fashion. Or not necessarily permanent, but at least for a couple of weeks, maybe months, I will be moving the show to 9 p.m. Eastern Time for now. It might be some other time, but for now, we're going to try 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's because there are great things happening in personal life, and I have to free myself for some family time at exactly this moment of the evening. And so I've decided to shift toward 9 p.m. Eastern time. You know, it's funny because yesterday someone was, or 2 days ago, someone was asking me, JF, can you move it to 9 p.m. Eastern time? And I was like, no, I can't. I will always stay at 7 p.m. But things are such that it's necessary for me to move it. It's going to be every day. And then it's seasonal. So perhaps in a couple of seasons, maybe in a couple of months, I'll go back to the regular time. But it's going to be necessary for now. Playrom says, if anyone's interested, there's an Odyssey-sponsored show co-hosted by Saturn. and with a bunch of other streamers passing through and eating bugs and stuff these days, kind of cool. Okay. The Odyssey Games, they call it. Okay, the link is in the regular chat for those interested. All right, so, and if you can't watch us live when it's 9 p.m. Eastern time, then it's okay. You know, you can watch us after the fact, or maybe I can try moving it for some nights. I might try moving it to in the afternoon. But in any case, I have to free up my evening slots. And so we'll hope that it won't derange too much of you. And eventually we might go back to the regular schedule. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.